reaching out to everyone, and she said that her six-month-old has been, some of you may have seen this, her six-month-old has been screaming uncontrollably the last several nights, I guess maybe like the past week. And she's got four-year-old girl twins, and one of the girl twins says that she is seeing a man in her little baby's sibling's room with wide eyes. And I'm not like saying this to freak people out or anything. And I do believe in spirits. I do. I believe the Bible talks about we don't fight against flesh, but we fight against about principalities and spirits. And so this woman was asking where she could buy sage from. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart because that's where her hope is, in sage and all of these things that have no power behind them. And that just saddened my heart. God, Jesus is the hope for this world today. And I cannot imagine laying my hope in sage for the peace of my children. And I, every morning, I pray over my children. Lord, be with my children as they walk the halls of that school. God, be with them. Help them to be kind to their classmates. Help them to spread your love. And her hope is in a plant and not the creator of that plant. Our city, our world needs Jesus. I'm so thankful that I know where I can go and I can call on his name, and mountains are moved and my problems are so small compared to his power. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Would you sing this song with us?
To break every chain. hear those chains falling. I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Jesus, you may be seated if you'd like.
When I walk through deep water, I know you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome.
Go before. You will never leave me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. As we normally have the ushers in the back, and you guys can greet each other and just sing along with us.
Some announcements to make, and I'm going to let Sister Grimm start out with the first announcement.
I just want everybody to know, remember that on Sunday we have our get-go-away luncheon for Brother and Sister Wells. If you were asked or you volunteered to bring a drink or a dessert, please bring it. We will be meeting at the Resource Bank building in Samanak. We are doing it so it is on one level so we can have Brother Day join us. It is handicap accessible, whereas we can't be here. So we're going to do that at the Samanak Bank, right on straight down 34 in Samanak.
Do we know what to bring? Does everybody know what to bring? Okay, good. Does anybody else have any other announcements besides that? I do have something from Sister Day. Ladies Retreat, October 25th and 26th. Please see Sister Day if you're interested in going. You need to, if you do want to go, you need to see her soon because there is a registration for that. We're going to take some needs before the Lord at this time. Does anybody have any needs before the Lord at this time? Sister Kel. James and Stephanie, okay, and Brother Kel. Anybody, Sister D? Okay, remember that need. Shame. Oh, boy. Remember that need. Okay, remember Shannon. Remember Brother Wells, too, because he's going to feel the repercussions of what she's feeling right now. Anybody else over here that I need that like to? Brother Mike. Okay. We're expecting a breakthrough in Mike's work because he's been bringing this before the Lord for a long time. So, Sister Kelly. For a job situation. Okay. Remember that need. Brother Wallace. Okay, remember that need. Anybody else? At the end of the service, we're going to have Sister Davis come up, and she has something prepared that she wants to share with the church for taking it to the streets. If we could stand at this time. The atmosphere is a little different here tonight. I don't know if you notice it or not, but I just feel God is evident that he's here right now. Brother Callum asked me to be sensitive to the Spirit tonight. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit tonight. Maybe if we could all, in unison, just be sensitive to the Spirit of God for the next few minutes. It's going to be an unconventional type of service for the next few minutes, and I'll let you know here and shortly what it's involved. But it was with prayer and seeking after God that I'm going to share with you what I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes. So let's take these knees before the Lord and just pray for just for God's will to be done and to be sensitive to what he is doing here. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for we are in your house, Lord. We are gathered in your name. Lord, this isn't just any other place, and we are just not any people, Lord, but we are that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, it is here, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We're feeling after you, Lord. We are searching you, Lord. And you are here in the middle of our time together, Lord, as we're gathered in your name, in your house at this very hour, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you're here to do a work. You're here to manifest yourself here tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. And you're here to meet with us and speak with us, Lord, these next few minutes, in Jesus' name, Lord. Every need that was brought before you tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, for Sister Shannon, and you would physically touch her, Lord. Brother Callum, Lord, that you would touch him, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Sister Callum and her request, Lord, for her family, Lord. Brother Mike, Lord, for a breakthrough in the workplace for him, Lord. We're believing and expecting, Lord, that he's going to get a breakthrough in his job situation, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we're going to go from victory to victory, Lord, because you're the God of the breakthrough. You're the God that breaks chains, Lord. You're the God that breaks strongholds, Lord. You're the God that sees us on the other side of the struggle, on the other side of the trial, on the other side of the what seems impossible for us at this very moment. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we could give God a hand clap of praise, and you can be seated at this time. Hallelujah. You can be seated at this time. Everybody, not everybody does the Bible chart that we get. Some people use Bible apps. I like having that piece of paper because I like scratching that thing off. When you're done with it, I like scratching it off. Or if I only got halfway through a certain day, it just gives me motivation to kind of finish that day and go to the next one. I'm in Jeremiah right now, and I'm looking at, I'm towards the end of it, but I want to, it is neat to get, I like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and I like those, that part in the Old Testament. Every time that I read it, every time I listen to the word, there's something that kind of comes up that I've never heard before, that I've never seen before. That's what's so amazing about reading the Word of God. And you know what's amazing about reading the Word of God is being filled with the Spirit and reading the Word of God. It's like the words just come right off the pages, and that is something that I can't describe unless I got it. I can't explain it, but I got it. I know that song. I've sang that song, and there's truth to that. It's just incredible. So it's Jeremiah. I'm in the book of Jeremiah right now. I'm reading it, listening to it, and it's in verse 5, chapter 1. Jeremiah says this: "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." Then Jeremiah tells God he's too young. Jeremiah tells God, "You've got the wrong person. This isn't the right time in my life for you to be doing this, using me." And we all have those times in our life where when God asks us to do something specifically, we question God and say, "God, I think your timing's off on this. I maybe not right now. This situation just doesn't present itself right now." But God, his calling and his gift are without repentance. And it says this in verse 9. It says, "The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in my mouth." And Jeremiah he goes into the nation of God's people, and he's being scrutinized for just being obedient and telling God's people, God's message. And in chapter 20 and verse 9 in the NLT, it says, "But if I say, I'll never mention the Lord or speak his name, his words burn in my heart like a fire. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it." When God asks us or calls us to do something and we hesitate to do it, there's something that just burns inside of us, because it's not like we took a test or we studied for it. It is literally just something heavenly that came to earth, and it's being transmitted from God himself to us, through us, to somebody else. It's supernatural. We can't explain it, and that's why he says it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I have to tell these people, no matter if it's good news or it's bad news or God's judgment being sent to his people, I have to tell my people, I have to tell God's people what he wants me to tell them, good, bad, or nothing. And I'm not going to say more than he wants me to say. I'm not going to say less than he wants me to say. I'm here to tell you, I don't ever want to stand up here and say, "Well, I just kind of drummed this up. I Googled this, and I searched this, and this is what I think we should talk about tonight." I promise you, I'll sit here, and I'll stand here, and just have a staring contest before I ever come here behind the pulpit or stand before you as the body of Christ and try to come up with something on my own. I want to be sensitive to this, to the will of God, and I believe I have some brothers and sisters that agree with me. Let's just not go any forward anymore until we hear from God. I don't want to do anything. I was here praying last night. I said, God, I need your direction. I need to hear from you. And it was within a matter of minutes where my prayer went from, God, I need to hear from you, God, I will hear from you. And I believe God has something specific that he wants me to share with the church tonight in the next few minutes. I do have something specific that I want to share with you. And if it's the only thing that you get out of it, that's okay. But I believe God has more than just one thing that he wants to say. And let's go to Mark in chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. And it said, And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they might go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. In verse 38 it says, he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he took them up to he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples, and he to set them before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did eat and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. I'm here to say tonight to you that everything that God touches is not wasted. Even before it was broken, it was blessed. Every test and every trial was in God's hands before you felt the first pain and anguish in your life. Before you saw your life fall apart or saw some uncertain things in your life. You never left the potter's hand. I'm going to share with you for the next few minutes my testimony. And I got thinking about this. And I'm like, how do you put your testimony on paper? And I just really struggled with this the last few days. So I'm like, even last night, I'm like, how am I supposed to put this on paper? But I believe it's important to share your testimony because there are 2 things that have an outcome from our testimony. One thing is God wants us all to be overcomers. And we sing that song, this is how we overcome. But God has done his part by the blood of the Lamb. It's up to us to do our part to be that overcomer. It's by the word of our testimony. By 2 things. God did his. He shed his blood. He was with me every step of the way. I was in his hands the whole time before I ever felt broken once in my life. Before I felt that first break in this. Before I felt that first tear come down the side of my face. We all have a testimony to share. It's important for us to share. If you have lived this life for 1 week or 1 year or 20 years and you feel like you're still struggling, you have a testimony to share with somebody because God wants you to live an overcoming life. He wants you to triumph in his name. He wants you to succeed in everything and prosper that you do. He wants your perspective to be different than the way it is here today. I'm going to go back to the beginning. I wasn't raised in this. I'm first generation apostolic. And I remember being raised in a Baptist school and in a Baptist church. And I was talking to somebody else a few days ago about this, that I'm not the first one that kind of defected from the Baptist church and school. It was Joel Paris was the first one here. He was the first one. He was the one that invited me to come to this church. And I am so thankful for them and their family. And they still have an impact on this church today. And they're being used by God in Indianapolis right now. But I am thankful for Joel and how God did a transformation in his life. Because I was raised just like him. But he found a way in an apostolic church, and God filled him with the Spirit, and he was never the same again. I remember him giving me a Bible study when I wasn't even looking for a Bible study, and he was trying to feed me with a fire hose, just everything. He was so excited about sharing what he had experienced here. And I remember his testimony. I remember coming in here, and I was like, this is all new to me. And I remember sitting back here, and there was a choir singing. I think IBC was here at the time. I think Jeremy O'Day was up there. He was in the choir robe. I remember Joel taking me by the hand. He wanted me to be filled with the Holy Ghost so bad. I didn't. He wanted me to get the Holy Ghost more than I wanted the Holy Ghost, because I was just trying to figure this whole thing out at the time. But God was patient with me. He was so patient that he allowed for things to process in my mind, line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. It was one of those things where I would take what I would hear, and it would be like nuggets. And I would process it. And I could not process everything at one time. It took time. And I'm thankful for the patience that God had in my life. And he was patient with me when I was frustrated. I didn't understand this supernatural thing of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a heavenly thing that comes to earth, and you can't explain it. But God, it's God's desire to give it to every person. And I'm so thankful for it. It's my desire for everyone to have this in their life. And I remember that line upon line, here a little, there a little. I remember having a home Bible study at one time. And I remember a 12-week Bible study, The Search for Truth? It turned into a 6-month Bible study for me because I had so many questions. And there was other people, I was going to the Aurora Church at the time, and there was other people that heard about this Bible study that I was being taught in somebody's home, and they're like, man, I wish I could be there. Well, I wish you could be there too, because I'd probably have some questions to ask you too. But I'm so thankful for God's patience. And I was raised Trinitarian, and Trinitarianism did not really kind of sink into me. That wasn't my stronghold. My stronghold was, if you prayed a sinner's prayer, once you were saved, you were always saved. So I sat underneath the teaching in an apostolic church and went to Wednesday night midweek services. And for about a year and a half, it took time for me to process that, you know what? I need more than what I have right now in my life. That light bulb did not click right away with me. But it was in the middle of a Bible study, and I realized, you mean I need more than a sinner's prayer to be saved? And I know all these good people in this church that I go to in the next town over, and it is in the hundreds of people. They were running like 350 at the time when I was growing up. And I went to church. I went to school there 5 days a week. And you're saying that it's more than a sinner's prayer that I need? And I looked at all those people. I literally had a vision of all these people that I've grown up with. And I said, they need that. They don't even know it. And I just straight-faced, when that light bulb clicked in my mind, the tears just flowing down my face. I'm like, there's a lot of lost people out there that don't know this. And it just registered for me in the very first time. I didn't even have it yet. But it was God's patience with me and letting me know that I'm here with you. I saw this a long time ago. I heard you from your very first cry that you want more. You desire more, and I hear for more for you. And I'm so thankful for that. I remember after that Bible study, I remember that pause when I didn't pursue coming to the house of God all the time. I remember it was 9/11. Actually, that was kind of the thing, anniversary of 9/11. I honestly did not put any of that in my notes tonight. It was during 9/11 that I realized that I needed to get back to the house of God. And I started coming here. I started out in another church in another town, but I came back. 9/11 triggered something in my mind. I'm like, God, that is a warning shot. I don't know how much time is left, but... And there were some bodies here, Brother Davis. I know vividly there were some people here, and they still live in town. They don't come here right now, but they got their attention. And I vividly I know in her mind, because they live down the street from me today. They go to a different church. But I thank God that something got a hold of me, that God got my attention. People ignore warning signs. God throws them out all the time. And people don't know that that maybe their last day when they go to work and they drive that car. And I was leaving the job site yesterday and off of 294, and there was this mangled up car that hit a semi-truck, and I'm just like, I don't know how that person got to live through that. Nobody knows when the last day is. You know, nobody knew that 9/11 was going to be the last day for over 3,000 people 18 years ago. But I remember things were starting to click. Things were starting to make sense. That Bible study, God drawing me here. I kind of felt what it was like to have those animals that were kind of drawn to the ark, you know, to get on that boat. I felt there was something drawing me to come to the house of God. It wasn't, and I believe it was the prayers of God's people just drawing me. It was praising God and worshiping Him. If I be lifted up, I will draw men to me. I remember specifically during certain times when I even hesitated to come here, I felt a drawing to come here, and it was during a time of worship. I knew right when worship would start here at this church, and I felt the drawing right at that hour. I can't explain it. I got to believe that there's others out there tonight. When we begin to worship God, that there's a drawing. We can't see it. We don't know what they're feeling, but I got to believe that there's a tugging. If I felt it, they have to feel it too. There is no doubt in my mind. There is something about when we lift up the name of Jesus, when we worship Him. That is something that I don't ever want to take for granted. I don't ever want to take for granted what He's done for me and what He deserves, the honor and glory that is due to Him. That alone, yes, but it does so much more. It has a drawing power. I'm going to draw people to me if I be lifted up. It doesn't take a lot of smarts to do. It just takes a willing heart. God, I just want to please You. I want to please You in word and deed and thought. You want to have a good relationship with God, just want to please Him in word and deed and thought. You're going to have an awesome relationship with God. You're going to live a blessed life. Whenever tests or trials come your way, God, I just want to please You today. I may be hurting right now, but I want to please You today. I want my heart to please You. I want my thoughts to please You. I want my mind. I want my actions. I want my attitude to please You. And that is so, it is not hard to do. It's easy to do, unless we allow our hearts to get hard. God, does He have to send another warning shot? He does to some people, but there's going to come a day when He's going to be done sending warning shots. He's going to send a shout. We're all going to go. It's going to go from warning shot to a shout. And we're going to be here in one moment, and the next moment we're going to be up there. I'm so thankful for that. I remember the day God filled me with His Spirit. It was right here, September 18th, the month of September, of things happening. September 11th was what drew me here. It was on a September of the same month. God filled me with His Spirit here on a Sunday morning. I'll never forget it. I remember looking at my phone. I thought, man, my phone's going off. And I felt literally electricity going through my body. I looked at my hands. I'm like, what is going on? My hands are tingling. I went home and I looked in the mirror. I'm like, who is that? I don't know who that. I never saw that person before. Because God made a new creature in me that night, that day. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new that day. And I had a desire to want to please God. I had a focus that I never had before. I remember a few months after that, I remember the Hartmans, and they were here. They asked if I would like to be involved in children's ministry going downstairs. I loved children's. I love Power Hour. I love seeing all those kids coming down there. I love handing out crayons with them and pouring a milk and having cookies with them and maybe sneak one in myself and doing offering with them. And I did that for years, literally, and I loved doing that. I enjoyed it. Another thing I like enjoying is mopping the floors in the church basement, because nobody knows who does it, but everybody else likes a nice clean floor. But you know what? You have a heart. You just want to serve God. You just like, oh, man, this is awesome. I come here. Nobody else is around. You have some free time. It's me time, but you're going to give me time to Him. And you just feel so blessed. You're like, I'm not doing it to be noticed. I'm not doing it. I'm not getting paid for it. I just enjoy doing it because I want to please God. And I remember after that being asked to work in preteen. I taught preteen for a few years. I remember with Trevor and Mark. And I remember after that, it was going up the stairs in youth ministry with Sister Angie. And that was amazing. And I think it was about 7 years I was up there. But I remember ushering. Ushering is a fun thing to do. Because look at all the room you have to worship. You don't have to worry about bumping shoulders with nobody. You got that whole back area there. And here's the thing. Nobody else notices it, but I'm going to give credit where credit is due. When you're up on the platform and you see Brother Jay jumping up and down, he is our worship leader for the ones on the platform. He's sparking a fire in us up there. So I am thankful for him, and I know what that's like to be back there. You take advantage of the time and space that you have there. Ushering. I remember being drawn to a pulpit ministry and having this burning desire to do it, not knowing that there was so much more to learn. And I remember the first time I got up here, and I remember saying something I probably shouldn't have said, a teachable moment, and I'm like, this microphone is too small to hide behind. Right in the middle of what I'm talking about, I'm like, oh, no, I dug a hole way too deep right now. I can't get out of it. Lord, help me say the right things to climb out of this hole I just dug myself in. But they're all teachable moments. I remember it was on August 2011. Allie came home from her first youth congress, and I had some friends over that day, and God brought me around some people that were spiritually hungry. I had a desire, just a passion to want to please God, to go after Him, just to go after God with everything. And God put me around a couple other couples that just were just as spiritually hungry as I was. And I remember them beginning to pray in my kitchen and living room that night. And I felt a calling in my life that night. And I remember Allie coming back. And she says, I saw angels in the house. Dad, there were. It was. Don't limit God. I want to say this right now. Don't limit God and the power and presence of God inside these four walls. That's kind of why Sister Davis is going to present something to taking it to the streets here. That power and presence of God should not be limited right here. We should take advantage of every moment that we have in the house of God. And we should pursue Him with everything that we have. And allow God to manifest Himself, to be sensitive and follow after the leading of the Spirit of God in a Spirit-filled atmosphere and an environment. It's important. I learned what it was like to have a reverence for God. When I first felt like God, there's something more that you want for me to do and to be in life. First He showed me, He goes, you need to have a healthy fear of me. And I remember reading a book by John Bevere called The Fear of the Lord. I got through the first chapter. I fell on my face. I believe it was in my living room. And I literally didn't eat for 3 days. I didn't purpose to go on a fast. I just lost my appetite because I'm like, God, you deserve all honor and all glory. And I have fallen short of it so many times in my life. And I want to live my life to please you and honor you in everything. So He taught me first, have a healthy fear for me. And that's something that should never wax cold in our lives. It doesn't matter what season of life we're in. It doesn't matter what age we are. If I got this 10 years ago to have a healthy fear of God, that is something that is important for me to attain throughout my whole life. It's very important. Abel had a healthy fear of God. Cain did not. I want to have a healthy fear of God. I don't want to kill my relationship with God, and I don't want to kill my relationship with any brother or sister in my life. By losing my fear of God, it has the ability to do that. I remember a particular night that I was speaking on a Sunday night service, and I remember the Spirit of God moving a mighty way. I remember asking if anybody needs prayer for healing to come up, and we'll pray for them. And I was learning how to kind of walk in the Spirit that night. And I'm like, man, I don't know what to do after this. And I felt like I fumbled it up so bad. I felt like the Spirit of God moved great right there. But when I started to speak, I felt like, this is so bad. I messed up so bad. I'm never doing this again. I went home. I've shared this probably with a couple of people. I went on the deck in the back of my house. I walked through the house, through the kitchen. I sat on the patio, and I literally wept for like 15 minutes with a broken heart. I'm like, God, don't ever ask me to do this again, because I felt like I messed up so bad, and it hurt so deep. It was about a week and a half later, Brother Wells comes over here where I'm sitting. He goes, I'd like you to speak the next Wednesday night. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. And I said, oh, Brother Wells, I didn't feel like I did a pretty good job last time I got behind that pulpit. And he says, don't let that be a stumbling block, but let it be a stepping stone. And that next message that I spoke after, I had my mind made up, and I thought I convinced God, I'm never doing this again. Apparently, I did not do a very good job selling that one. But it was turning that stumbling block into a stepping stone. God wants us to share our testimony because he needs to get the glory for it, for one, because he was with you every step of the way. You were in his hands the whole time. To put that underneath a bushel and not share with nobody, that rips God off. For what he has invested in your life, the glory that he deserves. He wants to show you off so bad for what he's done for you, what he's done in your life, how he's brought you through impossible situations. We need to share our testimony. And it is a demonic oppression, I believe, if we do not share our testimony with people. If we think in our mind that, God, I'm too embarrassed to share this, or I don't feel right sharing this, that is a lie from the devil. We all have a testimony to share with somebody. Whether it's in these four walls, or whether it's somebody in the coffee shop, or somebody on the telephone, we have a testimony to share, because somebody is struggling, somebody is overwhelmed by what God has brought you through. He deserves it. I remember about 3 years ago, I felt like my life was shattered. It was torn apart. I remember coming in here. There was five of us. I remember coming here on a Wednesday night, January 25th. There was five of us in the home. At 6:30, two walked out. Three came here. Not only was a marriage torn apart, but a family was ripped in half like a piece of paper. I remember going into Brother Will's office that night after teaching youth class that night. And I said, I'm trusting you with my life. And it was because of him that I'm here today. It is because of him, because of his mentoring in my life. I wish he was here for me to brag on him for a few minutes. But Shannon, you could tell him when you see him. He's the one who encouraged me to stand before you here today. I want to be here. He challenged me, tried me. It is so much more than a pastor's job is to get up here and give a 45-minute sermon on a Sunday. It was this mentoring. It's the investment that he put in my life. And I remember him telling me one time that I'm your biggest fan. I went from weeping on my back deck for him telling me, don't turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone, to I'm your biggest fan. I'm so thankful for my pastor. I'm so thankful for their family and the investment that they not only done in my life, but they've invested in all of our lives over the years. Now I want to take you from when something is torn apart to restoration. Because what happens in your life when God has that bread in his hands, he's already looked up, he's already blessed it before it was broken. Before you feel that first break and that first tear rolls down the side of your face, he's already been looking up, he's already praying. Because he sees the end from the beginning. You can't see nothing when your eyes are filled with tears in that moment of grief or that season of grief. Brother Wallace, can you put that photo up there? Kintsugi is a century-old Japanese way of fixing broken pottery. Instead of using a camouflage adhesive, Kintsugi technique uses gold, and when it's restored, beautiful seams of gold glint from conspicuous cracks, giving a one-of-a-kind appearance to each repaired piece. This unique method celebrates each artifact's unique history by emphasizing its fractures and breaks instead of hiding or disguising them. It often makes a repaired piece even more valuable and beautiful than the original, revitalizing it with a new look and giving it a second life. I'm thankful for God for second chances in life. I'm thankful God for seasons in life that seemed impossible to get through, impossible to walk through, but I was in his hands the whole time. I want to encourage somebody, jot it down, prepare your testimony for somebody, because it's going to be a breakthrough. It's going to be a hope for somebody else. You don't know who it is. You don't know what they've been through or what they're going through in that moment, but a breakthrough is coming. We sang a song tonight about breaking every chain. There are chains that are going to break. There are breakthroughs. There are strongholds that are coming down. There is revival coming to Sandwich for people that have yet to walk through these doors. God can work with broken. Broken, he's near to. He's attracted to it because he can work with it. If a human can work with a broken object and restore it, and put something in it beautifully that's been cracked or broken, what more can God do himself? Jeremiah 8, 3 through 6 says this, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, never leaving the potter's hand, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can't not I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Brothers and sisters, we are in the potter's hands. No matter what season of life, no matter what test or trial you go through, you've never left the potter's hands. There is something attractive about being in the potter's hands, because he is making something again, something more beautiful than it was the first time. It may look marred, it may look like a mess, it may look broken, but he's in the restoration business. Not only is he restoring something in our lives, but he's going to do this in lives of others that have yet to walk through these doors. They're coming. They're going to look marred. They're going to feel marred. They're going to look broken. The ones that look like they have it all together, they're going to put on a good face when they come in here. But their life is really a mess. God is a God who's going to take those broken pieces. He's going to take a marred life that just looks totally messed up and has no form or shape to it. But he's going to put his hand on the inside of them. He's going to put them on the outside of them. He's going to bring them up, just like he brought you and me up out of this miry clay that we were once in. I could not imagine 6 months ago where I would be at today in the season of life that I'm in. I'll be honest with you. I just want to brag on God. I would have laughed at you if you would have told me where I'm at right now. I would say, you're out of your mind. I was in the potter's hand the whole time. And when I felt that pain and that hurt, and I couldn't see this, he saw it the whole time because I was in his hand. And when all I saw and felt was hurt, he was smiling because he saw the future. All we see is a season. He sees seasons and times because he is the maker of seasons and times. I'm going to transition over to Sister Davis because she has a burden for the city of Sandwich. And there is so much more than us praying for this town and these businesses and whatever she has. I'm going to let her, I don't want to steal your thunder, Sister Davis, but we're taking this outside these four walls. And if you heard that young minister from the Nazarene Church across town, when he began to pray, I thought, oh my Lord, something is about ready to break loose in this town. I don't believe he's filled with his spirit, but I don't believe he's very far away from being filled with his spirit. Because that was a powerful prayer from somebody that doesn't have what we have. He's on the edge. He's on the cliff. He's on the cliff of something. It's a breakthrough. He doesn't know how close he is, but he's ready to walk in it. And we're going to help them. We're going to be there for them, every one of them, every step of the way. We're in the potter's hands, and we're going to say, it's a good place to be. Come to the potter's house and be safe in the potter's hand. He'll take your mess and make it more beautiful than it's ever been. Sister Davis, will you come up here at this time and share your burden and what you want to do here in the next couple weeks? We can have him come down right now. Does somebody want to go up there and get him?